So the first scripture reading today is from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard the cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to him, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then shall I say to them, God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations. And the gospel reading today is from Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 28. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I'm just. So I want to start today by explaining the sermon title, Prophet and Priest. It's something I learned in seminary. Jesus held a threefold office, priest, prophet, and king. As priest, Jesus honored tradition. He said he came to uphold the law. And as mainline Christians, I think we are pretty good at the priestly. We like worship traditions. As prophet, Jesus revealed the work of the kingdom, calling for justice. As mainline Christians, we are not always as good as prophets. As King, Jesus revealed the importance of community, and as mainline Christians, we're pretty good kings within our own community, but maybe not as good with the global community. But as followers of Jesus, we can aspire to being equal parts priest, prophet, and king. Now today I'm going to spend most of my time talking about being prophets because I think there needs to be a better balance between priest and prophet, and that balance will balance how we are kings to different communities. But I'm also going to talk about prophets because the Exodus reading today is a story of the first great prophet call. This passage in Exodus tells us a lot about how and why God calls prophets. Most of us know the story of the burning bush, but have we really taken a close look at the text? And so first, I just want to shortly recap Exodus 1 and 2, which is Moses' history up to this point. The first book picks up generations after Joseph dies at the end of Genesis. And over time, the Israelites multiplied, and this concerned the new Pharaoh, who had no memory of Joseph. This Pharaoh was afraid that the Israelites, by their number, had more power than the Egyptians. He oppressed them and made them slaves. The Pharaoh also told the midwives to kill any Hebrew baby boy, which they did not do, but that did not make Hebrew boys safe. This is the time Moses was born into. His mother feared for his life and hid him in the water. He was found and adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. When he grew up, he saw how the Israelites were being treated and killed an Egyptian who was beating a Hebrew. He had to flee. He went from adopted son of royalty to shepherding the flock of his father-in-law, which is where we find Moses in today's passage. God is calling the first prophet because God hears the cries of oppressed Israelites, and God remembers God's covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so what does that call look like? And can we put ourselves in Moses' place? So Moses had taken the flock beyond the wilderness. That must be far. And maybe we are wandering in the wilderness and beyond when it comes to what to prophesy for. There are so many choices. Moses notices the burning bush that is not consumed. He turns aside to look and try to figure out why the bush is not burned up. He could have kept walking. He saw a sign from God and didn't turn away. When we see signs of God, do we keep walking? Or do we turn to understand how God is speaking to us? God calls out and Moses says, "Here I am." Moses answers the call before even knowing what it is. Would we do that? Or would we have to understand in great detail what God is asking us to do? God tells him to remove his sandals. He is on holy ground. Well, we might do that. And then God identifies himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a reminder that God is with all generations. Moses hides his face because now he's afraid, and we probably would be too. Then God gets to the call itself. Go to Pharaoh, bring the Israelites out of Egypt to a land of milk and honey. Why? Because God has seen their misery. He has heard their cry and he knows their sufferings. But now Moses has second thoughts about having accepted the call. Who is he to do God's work? We would probably have those same second thoughts. And remember that the last time Moses was in Egypt, he killed an Egyptian. This is a dangerous call for him, but God assures Moses that God will be with him. And Moses should tell the Israelites that it's the God of their ancestors who sent him, whose name is I Am Who I Am. Weird sounding name. But the Hebrew tense that is used, it means the one who always is. We learn a lot about call here. God is faithful to God's people. God continually refers to God's self as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This reminds us of God's covenant. God is with God's people when they are oppressed, and God brings justice for God's people. That is good news. Moses thought he was unworthy. Moses was wandering around beyond the wilderness, but God called him, and he was a layperson. God could have called Moses' father-in-law, who was a priest, but God called a shepherd. And God promises to always be with the prophet. God says, I will be with you. Future tense. That is very good news. All this good news, and we are fearful to be prophets. It's not easy. As Bread for the World points out, Moses did not go to Pharaoh with a can of food. He went to advocate for the Israelites. He was going to speak truth to power. This is what God calls us to do as prophets. And so now the Matthew story. Jesus is letting the disciples know what it takes to be his followers, and it is not easy either. The passage is directly after last week's reading. So if you remember, that's where Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah, and Jesus tells Peter, he is the rock the church will be built on. Now in today's passage, Jesus tells the disciples he is going to Jerusalem where he will suffer, be killed, and raised from the dead. And what does Peter do? Says it must never happen. To which Jesus says, you are a stumbling block. So now we have Peter, who goes from the greatest promise, the rock of the church, to earning the sharpest reprimand. Jesus expects a lot from his followers. Now this is the passage where Jesus tells the disciples that if anyone wants to become his followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him. Carrying the cross is hard. These days we worship success and place a value on winning. Since Jesus is predicting suffering and dying, it seems the rulers will win. But he will be raised from the dead, and that is a whole new way of winning. And so are we willing to carry the cross and accept danger and speak truth to power? Are we willing to be prophets today? And what about today as a call to prophets? This pandemic is challenging both our priests and our call to be prophets. As priests, we value tradition, yet we have spent months apart as a community, worshiping virtually, and coming back into sanctuaries which, with much of tradition set aside. No choir, no congregational singing, no passing of the peace by shaking hands, and no coffee hour. Instead, wearing masks, barriers in this holy place. Will we long for the old traditions, or will we create new ones? For prophets, there is so much to do. The Reverend Denise Anderson, who's the coordinator for racial and intercultural justice for the Presbyterian Mission Agency, was asked how she was doing in this time. And she said it was extremely difficult being a Black person now. She pointed out that the pandemic has disrupted almost everything that makes our lives what they are. It's disrupted the church, it's disrupted the schools, it's disrupted business, disrupted employment, disrupted the political process, yet it has not disrupted racism. And I realize that it has also made worse some of what Jesus called us to do, to feed the hungry, and now lines at food banks are longer, and to give water to the thirsty, and the Clean Water Act is being gutted while the pandemic takes our attention. Visit those in prison. Prisons have seen some of the worst outbreaks, but additional prisons have been created as visiting is restricted in hospitals and nursing homes. Now today I'm gonna talk about environmental justice because I read in the Moses story a call to work for God's creation. God tells Moses to take off his shoes because he is on holy ground. There should be no barrier between our bodies and God's earth. And the story points back to how important the soil has been since Genesis. Adam was formed from the dust of the ground. Out of the ground, God formed every animal and bird. And out of the ground, God made every tree to grow. The soil binds us to all creation. So the good news is that this week, New Jersey passed the strongest environmental justice bill in the nation. It's been 10 years in the making. But I want to give you a sense of what people in this state live with in environmental justice communities, why this bill is so important. And so I'm just going to read a little piece in an article about my colleague, Kim Gaddy, who is the environmental justice organizer for Clean Water Action. And so it said, growing up in Newark South Ward, Kim Gaddy often struggled to breathe. When her asthma was at its worst and inhaling stung and failed to fill her lungs, she would wind up in the local emergency room. Gaddy spent considerably more time in the ER when her three children were young. They also grew up in the South Ward, where the children's asthma rate is three times the national average. All of Gaddy's kids, now 31, 20, and 16, have asthma too, as did Gaddy's parents, two of her brothers, and her first cousin who died of asthma when he was in his 40s. So did Gaddy's brother-in-law, who went to the porch of his house on Newark's Vassar Avenue one summer night in 2004, hoping to catch his breath, and instead collapsed. He died before the ambulance arrived. We are connected to the people living in these conditions in Newark through our bodies sharing the same soil. Can we be prophets to help those who suffer as they suffer? Now, there is an environmental justice bill working its way through Congress. We can advocate for that bill. Speak truth to power. Are we willing to take up that cross? Are we willing to take on Jesus' threefold office of priest, prophet, and king? Are we willing to put as much effort into being prophets and taking on the powers as we are to being priests and maintaining tradition so that we can be caring kings to our community and the global community? I hope so. Remember that God calls people just like us to be prophets. I think it will be easier if we always remember that God will always be with us. May it be so, in the name of the Creator God, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.